seriousness. I would split it into two, which is communication and application of the gospel. So I'm bringing it home. We'll discuss a bit about the general meaning of communication and application and how we can apply it to the gospel and how we can be a vessel or a medium to communicate effectively what the meaning of gospel is. Based on the knowledge that we have, building on the whole series from behind. So I said communication is just an exchange of information, ideas, thoughts, feelings, based on the knowledge you know about a subject or the subject. And we have lots of several medium or means of communication or methods, so to speak. We have the verbal communication, we have the non-verbal, we have the visual, and what else? All right. And we have the written. So communication can come in the form of written, verbal, non-verbal, and the last one I said is written, thank you, or visual. So as Christian, I've come to realize or understand that we communicate a lot the message to various or through one or some of these methods. But beyond that, what are the elements of communication and how does it translate or how do we interpret it to the encoder or the end user or the person that we are speaking to? So I said we have the elements of communication, the sender. In this regard, we talk about we as a body of Christ, a Christian community. And I said it's the source of person God can use to disseminate or disseminate the information. It could be anyone. That is the beauty of it. So God is not looking for the qualified, but he qualifies the called. And the story of Sheila talked to me last week about the what's it called now? The communion box. Thank you. It wasn't perfect, but then it was able to do the job for which it was made. And so that made me reflect that regardless of who you are, where you are coming from, or what you feel the blemish or the inadequacies are, God can still use you as long as you are a willing tool. And one beautiful thing about the God we serve is not particular about your eloquence, your degrees, or whatever it is. Most times he chooses to use people that will feel they are inadequate, or that feels they are inadequate. I'll take us to the story of two characters in the scriptures. I'll look at Moses, who gave all excuses. Man, I'm not looking at that. I'll use you. I know you are. I knew that before I came to you, but you are the perfect vessel for this mission. The same with Daniel. He said, God, I'm a man of an unclean lips. How would I take up this message? I said, I will sanctify you, and you do the message. And he did. Same with Gideon. I'm the smallest. My family, they are irrelevant. We are nobody. So God will look beyond whatever situation, whatever condition, whatever person, as long as is you are a medium, a vessel to push out the message. So God looks beyond whatever it is that is your condition and can put out his message through you. And that is the beauty of it. God would never look at your inadequacies. He will look at the abilities he can put in us to bring out or to send out the message. The message is about Christ, risen, dead, rose, and is seated on the right hand of God. And just as we said in John 3:16, that God loved the world, he gave only begotten Son, whoever believes in him. So it's a very simple message. It is not something out of... So it's, I tell people always that it's, even if you know John 3:16, you are good to share the message of the cross. That is the long and short, the Genesis and the Revelation of our profession as Christians. That God loved the world, Jesus came, he died, he rose, and is willing to accept you the way you are, and would make the necessary change in you for you to become a better person. And he has prepared a place for you that where he is at the minute, you will join him at some point. So we've talked about the medium, which is the verbal, non-verbal, and the receiver, the audience, the targeted audience. Now, this is where it gets tricky a bit. Now, we've been talking about how we can take the message, the medium, and the means. We all agree with that. Is anyone disagreeing with that? Am I correct? All right, thank you. So, now it gets a bit tricky now. We look at the feedback, which is much more important. That is coming from the receiver now. As Christians, or as a community, I want to believe that the message carries more weight in the way we comport and conduct ourselves, in the way we live our life, our lifestyle, the way we relate, our responsibilities, the way we carry ourselves as Christians, carries more meaning than, I don't want to say the message has a whole meaning, but we are a reflection, or should be a reflection, of the message we preach. So, I can be a very eloquent speaker, my communication can be very, very effective, but the receiver is the one that will give the ultimate feedback if what I've been able to communicate is effective or not. I would give us a story of a young lady that went out for evangelism in my country. Before she left that Sunday morning, she was at home doing some washings. And she was actually walking by street, and a young man accidentally threw dirty water on her. She was furious, mad. For lack of a better word, put out all her anger on the young man, rained curses, abuses, and whatever it is on him. Said, "I'm sorry. It was I don't want to use all the negative words." And that said and done, everybody parted ways. She got to church that morning, and Reverend Bob, said, "Today, no one is sitting in church. We are going out there to preach. Everyone is going out there to share the good news." So we went in twos. Made myself and Chris, Shella and Paula, everyone went out. And unfortunately, she met with the young man. She had the issue earlier that Sunday. And the moment the man saw her, she was with the Bible and everything. Said, if she's the one that's coming to preach to me, I'm not going to listen. Nothing that you can tell me at this minute that will make me become a Christian. Because this young lady is not a Christian. And at that minute, A soul was lost. It's a story due to our action. So as Christians, we need to be mindful of our conduct. Not just when we are in the Christian community or the Christian gathering that we all assume or believe that we are children of God. Yes, we are. But beyond that, our life is a ministry on its own, and our life ministers. Where I work presently, I've had lots of people, because of the nature of the job, we can't preach. It's not my job. It's not part of my job description. But the funny thing is, most people call me pastor, even the prisoners. So that got me thinking. What did they see? I don't go into the prison with. I won't. I'm not part of the chaplaincy. So it got me reflecting a lot that it should tell us something, that people see more than they hear. Whatever you say may have less effect on their lives, but what they see, what they can relate with, even without you saying anything, would go a long way in making that impact in their life. So as Christian, I want us to be much more mindful of our conduct. When Shelley was praying, she was praying about being a person of integrity and honor. A true Christian that lacks integrity and honor will always, you can be saved, yes, but may not be fit for purpose. Because if your life is not a reflection of what you preach, it's going to be very hard for me to want to follow your path. And I'll take us back to the story of Reverend Bob, I think last Sunday, talking about going to the shop to get chocolate. If I come to you and I came with a message of chocolate, but I'm holding scorpions and snakes. Come, I've got some chocolate in that shop. Lots of goodies. What would you say? Come on. I can see you are holding scorpion and snakes. I'm not blind. I'll pass. I don't want the chocolate. So I relate more with what I can see. I relate more with what is going on around me, even when I'm not saying anything. So if I bear the chocolate and have goodie bags of chocolate, even without saying, I can ask you, where did you get this chocolate? I think I want some. And as a Christian, people will spoil you to telling them about your testimony of Christ because of what they see in you. The ground has been prepared already. So whatever you tell them at that point sinks, because your life is already a testament to the message. But if I'm saying one thing and acting the other way, it's going to be kind of difficult to relate well with it. I'll give us a true story from someone, and as I'm rounding up my message. Back in Nigeria, it's quite very touchy for me. We used to have a minister somewhere. And just close to the church, we have a Muslim couple. I relate well with them, and they call me pastor there too, and we relate well, we speak well. And so there was a day she called me and said, if not because I've met you, had conversation and discussion, it's going to be difficult for me to be to be a Christian. I said, why, Dad? He said, because I know a reverend that physically abused his wife and the children as well. She said, as a matter of fact, we are the one that go to the house to settle the dispute between the reverend and his wife. Mind you, they are Muslims. And every meeting day, they get to hear this man come on the podium to preach. So to them, that to them it's the height of hypocrisy. They felt insulted. So I had to sit down and say, thank God you know me. And you can. I said, yeah. So it's unfortunate that is happening. And I said, we'll be praying for them. Because I have no defense in that regard. Like, there's nothing that would. Because the man in question is a reverend, is supposedly a child of God that should understand to a high degree the tenets of the gospel we preach. So for those couple and people that will be coming around them, it's going to be a bit of work and lots of prayers to get to convince them that Jesus is the way. So this morning, I would want to challenge us and admonish us and get us to reflect on the way we live our lives, even as we have it in mind that it's a good thing to preach the gospel. God doesn't mind whoever you are, but he does mind how you live your life after receiving the gospel. I can't be a thief before receiving the gospel, and after receiving the gospel, I still want to be a thief. It doesn't work that way. And a true encounter with Jesus changes everything. You cannot remain the same. You cannot. Except you've not had true encounter with the Holy Spirit. It's going to spur, it's going to ignite a passion and anger in you that would want to please him, do his biddings, and how you apply the word of knowledge will be different. You can't be an ordinary Christian. You can't be an ordinary person. And I say that every day, that once you have a true encounter with God, it changes everything. And the beauty of it is that, you know, in the book of Acts, I told someone some time ago, maybe I was wrong. I said Jesus was not a Christian. I will explain. There was nothing like Christianity when Jesus was on earth. But when he left, some men gathered, a community gathered. The way they conduct themselves, the way they comport themselves, the way they speak, they said, these people act and speak like Jesus. Their ways, their manners, everything they do is like Christ. And that was where the word Christians emanated from. So Jesus himself was not a Christian when he was on earth. But when he left, he made such impact that when the community gathered, people were able to relate it to his life. So these people are Jesus, are Jesus-like. They behave like Jesus. They speak like Jesus. And that was where they first called them Christians in Antioch. I want to believe I'm right. If I'm not, let me know. Thank you. And lastly, when I said you can't be with Jesus Christ and be the same, in the book of I think the book of Acts 4:13, we can read that when maybe when Gerdum said that. When Peter and John were speaking, they said, people that saw them, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, looked down and said, these people are unlearned. They are uneducated. They are plain men. But the way they spoke, the authority they carry, said, and said, oh, they've been with Jesus. That was the difference. That made the difference. You can't spend time with Jesus and remain the same. You can't be ordinary. You can't. It's impossible, except you are not doing it the right way. Except you are yet to have a true encounter with the Holy Spirit. You can't be with Jesus and be who you used to be. And once you get to that stage, then there's lots of things that God is going to work in you and through you. And I pray God is helping us to go about this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lastly, I said your life must reflect your message. You must be conscious, careful, and sober, just like in 1 Peter 5:8. You must commit to bearing the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Some might mistake that for weakness, but it is never. It's strength, and I'm a testament to that. It's great strength, and after some time, people will understand it, and they will adjust. They will adjust to you. If your life is not aligned with what you communicate, you may not or will not make a positive impact. And finally, don't let your life or lifestyle be a mess to the message. Let's pray. As we reflect on your word this morning, we ask for grace. To be men and women of honor and integrity. To make our life a true reflection of the message you preach. To be conscious Christians and understand that the way we comport and conduct ourselves has more meaning than a verbal expression of the gospel. We ask that you help us, fill us with the Holy Spirit, to be true ambassadors, disseminating your word in every of our conduct, in the way we live our lives, in the manner we speak, in our place of work, at home, wherever we find ourselves. I pray, Lord, that you're going to shine your light on our path and give us the abilities to live a life worthy of our call. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.